I know what you're thinking. Wasn't he here last week? We have to listen to him again? Man. I know, I was thinking the same thing. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
You are awake. Okay, good. Just want to make sure. It is a beautiful day out there. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I hope all of you are going to be able to make it to the picnic. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of opportunity to fellowship with brethren, and just a good time to be together. You know, I've been thinking about a subject for a while, and Mr. Petty asked me to speak again today. It's kind of a, I guess you could say, a level of attrition. Let's see, Mark's gone, Tim's gone, Russ is gone, Aaron's gone. Hey, can you speak? So, you know how that is. But there's a subject I've thought about for a while, and I had planned on, at some point, getting into a message. Today I got the opportunity. I thought this would be a great time to talk about it. You know, there's this creation of God that happened long before mankind. Doesn't get a lot of affirmation or support in today's world, yet it's mentioned over 250 times throughout the Bible. It's something that most people don't understand or believe in and how they affect our lives today. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Back when Noreen and I were recently married, well, not exactly recently because we had a child, so we'd been married a little while, and we were traveling home. We were coming down the highway to where we lived. It was a two-lane highway, and there was a crossroad there where we would turn to go into the trailer park where we lived. And we were sitting there. It was late in the afternoon. Noreen and I and Alicia. And there was one car in front of us, then the crossroad. Traffic, of course, coming down the highway. We sat there waiting for the traffic so we could turn left and go into the trailer park. And as we were sitting there, I looked in my mirror and I saw this car coming up really fast. And as I looked at it, I realized that that car is not going to stop. There's no way. And I reached over and I put my arm across the seat, kind of waiting for the crash. And as I did, I looked back in the mirror and I saw the car get off the side onto the shoulder. And I looked to the right, and there went the car down the side, right past us on the right. And it was two young boys in the car. And I don't know, the driver didn't look to be over 16 or 17. He was young. And he was fighting to control the car because when he got on the shoulder, it was gravel. And so the car started, he had the brakes locked up. And this was an older station wagon, and he was sliding. And as he slid by me and by the car in front of me, he hit the pavement of the crossroad. And when he did, he never let off the brakes. It kicked him sideways, and he went in front of the car in front of me and headed across into the oncoming traffic down the highway. And as he went across in front of the other car, now here you've got cars coming this way and this car coming this way, and they hit, and the logical place for them to come is right into us. But that car went around, hit the other car, and went down this side of us. So he was behind me, he went down in front, he went across the front, and he ended up over here on the left. And the other car that he hit, it went into the ditch to the right. And I thought, man, that was pretty amazing. I mean, that car went all the way around me and didn't hit me. And then it hit me. Wow, thank you, God, for having an angel here, and I bet he's tired because that was quite a workout. I have felt my entire life that this was an act of God protecting us with an angel. And I'm sure that many of you have had instances in your life where you felt there was a little extra help. Well, today we're going to look into the subject of angels. And for those of you wanting a title, the title today is simply, What About the Angels? I'm sure that most of you, if you're honest in answering this question, what does an angel look like? A lot of you, you're going to have that first thought of, well, it's this and you know, this being with wings and a halo, and it's usually a woman, and you know, wearing a long dress. Because, come on, I mean, society's pretty much given us these images all of our life. But maybe for you, you know, maybe some of you, you know, if you watch a lot of TV, they portray this British woman, you know, she's an angel. Or maybe if you saw the movie years ago, Michael, you think John Travolta was the angel. And that's a little reach. But maybe you're more old school. Maybe you're more a Wonderful Life kind of person. And you remember the angel that was in that called Clarence. Maybe you have this visual thought that the angels are these naked babies with wings and bald heads. I don't know. You know, you look at society and you look at how these things are portrayed, how angels have been portrayed to us. At one time or another, you know, there's something there that we've seen that sticks in our mind. And I'm sure for most of you, one time or another in your life, a loved one has died, and you were told that they went to heaven and became an angel to help watch over us. Well, unfortunately, brethren, none of these ideas are true. Let's turn to Revelation 4 and begin in verse 4. We have a little description here that goes a little different to what the world thinks angels look like. Revelation chapter 4, and we're going to begin in verse 4. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Verse 6, before the throne there was a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So these descriptions here, brethren, are descriptions of angels. Descriptions that are much different than what this world portrays. Let's look at some other scriptures to find out some more facts about angels. When did they first come into existence? Do we know that? Can we find that in God's Word? The first mention of angels is in the book of Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. We see the first reference in the Word of God to an angel. We see this in verse 7. Genesis 16 and verse 7. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness. This is talking about Hagar. By the spring of the way to, on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself unto her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are a child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. We see this first message, this first instance where God has used an angel to speak, to carry out his will, to minister to his children. Now, even though this is the first mention of them, it doesn't imply that they just began around this time. We can turn back to John 1 and see a little more. John 1 and verse 1. We all know this passage, but it has meaning to this in looking and understanding where angels came from. John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And we know, brethren, that the Word became Christ. We know that the Word was Christ. And the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. It's pretty clear then that if there were angels to be created, they were created by the Word, which we know as Christ. Christ created the angels. We can back this up by looking at Colossians 1 and verse 15. Let's go back a few chapters, a few books here in the New Testament. Back to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. So Christ, brethren, we see in reading through this that Christ created the angelic beings. So probably, who knows, maybe a million years ago. We really don't know the exact time frame, but we know that they have been around long before the earth existed. And we can see that. We can see more of this by turning to Job. We're going to go to Job 1 verse 6, where we see angels are described as God's sons. Job chapter 1 and verse 6. We see here where Satan and God are discussing Job in Job chapter 1. Beginning in verse 6, and it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them." We see that Satan and God are discussing Job as we read on in verse 7, "And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth.'" You know, I was just out checking things out, walking around the earth. Now God knew where Satan had been. God knows everything about Satan. God created Satan. He put him here. And he allowed him and has allowed him to continue on this earth. But God is speaking with Job. God is talking to Satan about Job. And we see going on him speaking to Job in chapter 38. Chapter 38 again, God speaking with Job, we see in verse 4. "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, are all the sons of God?" And all the sons of God shouted for joy. Many of them shouted for joy when they saw the beautiful earth that God had created. So we see the angels again referred to as sons of God, and they were around long before mankind, long enough to witness God's creation of the earth. We know they were created a long time ago, and they were created through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But what about their relationship with Christ? How were they to treat him? Let's turn to Hebrews 1 and verse 1. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. Hebrews 1 verse 1. "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son." And let's go on to verse 4. "Having become so much better than the angels, as he, Christ, has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The divine Son exalted, for to which the angels did he ever say, 'You are my Son, today I have begotten you.'" And verse 6, "But again, he brings the firstborn into the world. He says, 'Let all the angels of God worship him.'" So the angels are to worship Christ also. They are not equal to Christ in any way other than being spirit beings. Well, how about how many angels do we have on this earth? Do we have an idea? Anybody have an idea? Let's look at Daniel 7, verse 9. God gives us a little insight into it. Daniel 7, and verse 9. Verse 9, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and his hair, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Now, brethren, we know that this is talking in verse 9 about Christ. We know that Christ is the God of the Old Testament. I'm not going to go into all the scriptures that prove that today. It's something maybe we can do in another message. But it being Christ on his throne, he mentioned 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. If you're trying to calculate it, that's 100 million plus angels that were there that God talks about. For those of you, if you want to, we can go back and look at this again in another scripture. Man, these glasses are really bothering me today. I'm sorry. I'm seeing way too many words. Let's turn back to Revelation 5. We see another passage that backs this same scripture up. Revelation 5 and verse 11. It says here, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, which we talked about before, the four creatures and the 24 elders on the throne that were angels as well. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So my guess at this point is there were well over 100 million angels that God created. So we have all these angels created by God for what purpose? What purpose did God create them? Let's turn to Hebrews 1 and verse 13. We were in Hebrews a minute ago, but we're going to go back there. Hebrews 1 and this time verse 13. In verse 13, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? That's speaking about us, brethren. The angels are here to minister, to help, to watch over those who will inherit salvation. The angels cannot inherit salvation. Only we can. God's faithful angels are created, sent to minister to God, and they also serve those of us now being called to salvation. The Bible tells us the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. That's in Psalms 34 and verse 7. So God's angels are to protect and to help. They are often used to deliver his people from troubles or difficulties of many kinds. They are also God's messengers. You can look at Daniel 10 and verse 11 and Luke 1 verse 11 through 13. That's Daniel 10:11 and Luke 1 verse 11 and 13 and see examples of the angels as messengers. But how about delivering from trouble or difficulty? Let's look at a couple different instances from God's people. First, let's turn to 2 Kings 6 and verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 6, we see the angels here helping God's people in a way that only the angels could do. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 8. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Verse 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. He wasn't happy that the Israelite king had sent somebody over there to kind of spy on him, and he found out about it. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? He thought he had a spy there. There was somebody that was tipping him off. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. So he's figuring out, okay, this Elisha guy, we've got to get hold of him. We can't let him continue to tell the king of Israel what's going on. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God, so this was Elisha's servant, arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And the servant said to them, alas, my master, what shall we do? So you see, this servant of Elisha's has seen this huge army surrounding them, and he's concerned. He's very concerned. How are they going to get away? And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Elisha wanted his servant to see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So the angels had surrounded him. They were there protecting him. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and there they were inside Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? But he answered, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. No longer did the Israelites have to worry about the Syrians, because God and the angels were with them. They protected them. God has promised that his angels will minister and protect us. Let's look at another example in Acts 5 and verse 17. Acts chapter 5 and verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. The angel here not only delivered the apostles from prison, he also told them to go into the temple and to preach the truth. But we might ask, how did the apostles know that this was a righteous angel and not a demon? Well, first, the apostles who had personally witnessed Christ's dealings with the demons had a great deal of experience and spiritual discernment. They had seen Christ casting out demons. They had seen up close and personal Christ working with the demons and knew that this was not a demon. Secondly, the angel had manifested supernatural power in letting them out of prison, which was a good thing in this case. Thirdly, the angel's instruction to go to preach the gospel was on target also. the exact instruction Jesus had already given them. Many times we are in situations, brethren, where we need assistance. And I'm sure there are many times when we have felt, as I said before, that there has been a presence, a helper there, somebody to guide and direct and watch over us as we go through something. I'm reminded of a story of a minister we had years ago. His name was Mr. Burson, and he was a contractor before he became a minister. He used to build houses, and he was telling me the story of one day he was up on a roof, and they were working on the house, and something happened, something snapped, something shifted, and he fell. And he landed on the concrete. He fell about 15 feet, landed on his feet on the concrete. And immediately he went to the ground. He knew that he broke his leg. So his wife got him and took him to the doctor. And they prayed before they got there. They prayed for help. They prayed for God's mercy. And they got to the hospital. And they x-rayed his ankles. And they said, you know, it looks like you broke your ankle a long time ago. Said, we can see where it was broke. We can see the line, but it's not broken now. And he said, well, I've never broken my ankle. They said, oh, no, there's a crack here where you broke your ankle. But he didn't have a break because God had healed him. And I'm sure that there are times, I remember a story long ago, of, I think it was of a woman who had been in a bad area, and that she saw these men coming towards her, and then they turned and they fled, and she couldn't figure out why. And finding out later, they said, well, it was because of the two big guys that were standing behind you, but there was no one there that she knew of. So, you know, sometimes there are unexpected instances where an angel of God sent here to help and minister unto us, might be around us and we don't realize it. I mean, there are hundreds of millions of them. Let's turn to Hebrews 13 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 13. And verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. See, God instructs us that there are times when we're going to have some people around us that we don't know that are strangers to us, but those strangers could be angels that we are unaware of, that we need to watch. God wants us to watch how we live our life every day. It's important by our example. We talk about that so much, about the things that we have to do in our life, the way we have to live our life every day. As Mr. Armstrong used to say, you live your life every day as if Christ is coming tomorrow. You plan your life as if Christ will not return in your lifetime. We have responsibility to plan our lives, to do things in our lives. But the way we live every day, we are to live with the understanding of the salvation that God has promised those that keep His commandments, those He has called, as we spoke of last week, as we celebrated Pentecost, as first fruits called to be a part of God's family. There are many examples in the Bible of angels appearing to man as men. I could go through probably 30 or 40 if I had time. We know that they were with Lot when he was told to flee Sodom. We know that there was an angel with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were tossed into the fire. How the king saw four walking down when they only threw three in. You can read back and forth throughout the Bible and see so many examples of angels helping the children of God. Let's turn to Psalms 91 and verse 11. Psalm 91 and verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Let's turn back to Psalm 34 and verse 7. Psalm 34 and verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Two scriptures, brethren, that we are promised that God's angels will be about us. That for those that fear God, who keep his commandments, who seek to worship him, will be protected by his angels. It is a promise from God, from the word of God through his Bible. Let's turn now to Colossians 2 and verse 16. Colossians chapter 2. I know I'm going through a lot of scriptures. I hope you're bearing with me on this. There's just so many examples. As I said in the beginning, there are over 250 scriptures that talk about angels and God's word, and so many that are meaningful to us. Colossians 2 and verse 16. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival, a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substances of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Brethren, angels are spirit, but they are not ever to be worshipped, never to be prayed to. They are spirit beings, but they will never be given the opportunity that we have been given. They will never be changed in the way that we will. We live in a world, brethren, that is controlled by Satan. One of the three archangels that God created. Satan wants to continue to deceive the world into believing that all who die will become angels. That's his goal. That's how he has deceived this earth, how he's deceived this world. He wants everyone to believe, well, when you die, you become an angel. But that's not the plan. Personally speaking, for myself, I don't want to just become an angel, because God has promised us something much greater than that. Let's finish this message by going back to Hebrews chapter 1. And this time we're going to read through the entire book and into part of chapter 2, because we need to see and understand what God has promised us. One thing about Hebrews 1, if you notice here in all the italics, that God quotes from many different passages of the Bible. But Hebrews 1 is so important to us to fully understand the meaning of God's plan and how the angels fit in. Again, chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Again, we see here, as we talked about before, that it was Christ as the God of the Old Testament who created the earth, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and the upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels. You see, Christ did come to this earth as a human. For a short time, he was lower than the angels, as we are. But as we read here in verse 4, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? God has never spoken to the angels that way, nor will he, because the angels will not be his begotten sons. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Only we will be those sons, brethren. The angels will not. Verse 6, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? Verse 8, but to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Verse 10, and you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Again, brethren, these verses being taken out of other passages of God's Word to reestablish, to reaffirm to us the purpose and the point for us and for the angels and what Christ meant to us because of his sacrifice. Verse 11, they will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak you will fold them up. And they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail. Again, verse 13, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? God has never spoken that to the angels, nor will he. Because, verse 14, they are not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. That's us, brethren. We are the ones that can inherit salvation. We inherit that promise from God when we stay true to his word and follow him. Going on in chapter 2, we see us with Christ. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. That affects each of us, brethren, to be watchful, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Verse 5, for he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. This world is not in subjection to angels, brethren. This world is controlled by Satan and a third of the angels that he took with him. Verse 6, but one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. And probably verse 7 should be translated, you have made him a little while lower than the angels. Because we are only lower than the angels for a short time, because we will be resurrected to something that is greater and above the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. That's under our feet, under man's feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. Verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Verse 10, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren or brother. Christ does not call the angels his brothers, but he will call us his brothers, because we will be changed into a being that is above the angels. God has set the angels on this earth to minister to us, to help us, to watch over us. But even though they are spirit, they were never intended to become heirs with God. That is reserved for mankind. We are said to be created in God's image. The description of Revelation 4, where it talks about the creatures in verse 6, verse 7, those don't sound like humans. Those don't sound like the same created in God's image as we are. Brethren, remember God's promises and be diligent in His word.